I want to start off by listing 10 words to you. Please write them down if you choose to do so. The first word is narrow. The second word is fork. The third word is end. Fourth word is winding. Fifth word is bump. The sixth word is block. The seventh is connector. The eighth is parallel. Ninth is wrong way. And the tenth is one way. Now, what do all these words have in common? There's one word that fits with all those 10. Does anybody know what that is? What? Road is the answer. Thank you, the other Michael, paying attention. Yes, roads are important as they lead us from one place to another. And as you have just heard, there are many types of roads. They all have different purposes. There are a lot of them that are composed of different material, and there's also different conditions of roads. For example, we have dirt roads, and for those of you who live on a dirt road, know just how dirty it can get, right? Well, you also have to make sure you have an appropriate vehicle to travel on that dirt road. Because I don't see a lot of low-rider Ferraris driving on dirt roads, especially ones that want to keep their car clean. But here in Ramona, there's a lot of dirt roads where we live, and the majority of the people who drive them have pickup trucks that don't care about washing their cars. So let me ask you, those who live on dirt roads, how often do you wash your car? Exactly. None. I don't wash my car either because I also have to travel on it. A dirt road. Now, in the rainy seasons, dirt roads can be a nuisance, and especially for certain vehicles that you drive, you don't want to get stuck. And like I said, there is no car wash necessary. Other roads that we travel on are paved roads or asphalt. And of course, these are most desired because they're not dirty. And you will see these roads as freeways and the main roads that we travel on where the most traffic would be on. They're also the most safe at high speeds. You can drive 80 or 90, well, if you choose to do so. You can't do that on a dirt road, though. The traction's not very good. However, the paved roads are also more prone to potholes. And anybody that lives in California knows how bad that can get. Especially since California is one of the top 5 states with the worst road conditions. Well, that's also because the state doesn't have any money. But that's a different story I'm not going to get into. Another condition is stone. We see cobblestone roads, especially up in Boston, if you're out there. But you see a lot of that in Europe as well. And the cobblestone roads don't get as damaged as a paved road would be. There's a lot of time and effort that goes into a cobblestone road, though. So these are just some examples of conditions. Now, we depend on roads to travel on to get us from here to there. And I most certainly depend on them in my profession as I encounter every type of road you can think of, even roads that shouldn't even be roads. But with all the roads that we travel on daily, roads that we count on so we can reach our destination, how are we doing on our spiritual road that we are traveling on? We chose to go down a specific road, a road that will hopefully lead us into the right direction. Now, this road is not an ordinary road, but one that contains many hazardous conditions, perhaps some detours and delays. It's definitely not an easy road to travel on. But only a select few will travel on this road. What kind of a road is this? Why would anybody want to travel on this road? Well, I have the answer. And the answer is in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, we read, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way, or the road, that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it." Verse 14, "Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Now, that list of 10 words that I said in the beginning comes into play with what I'm about to say now. The verse starts off, verse 13, by giving us a choice. Either we go by the first word I said, the narrow way, or we go by the wide way. We've reached a, number two, fork in the road. And if Joan Pope is listening in right now, I warned her that I would be saying hello to her. But she told me one time if I reached a fork in the road that I should take it. And that didn't do me any good, but the humor was appreciated, so I thank you. So which one do we take? We've reached that fork. Well, we've seen this scenario many times. On television, and we see it on movies, we've seen it in cartoons, we've seen it in comics. One road looks more appealing than the other at first glance. The left road looks very attractive. It's very tempting. It's very enticing. Full speed ahead. There's no roadblocks, at least from what you can see. And this is what the majority of the people would choose to take. But they fail to see the trap that is set before them, as it will ultimately lead to a dead end. End, third word. The road on the right looks less appealing, not to mention it's incredibly narrow, requiring a considerable uphill effort as far as the eye can see, but also fail to realize where the road ends, which is far from dead. All right, so now we have a choice. So what do we choose? Well, the world is going to choose the left way, and we will choose the right way. So focusing on our road, we can see that the road is long, with many winding turns that leads us to who knows where. Now, if those words, that phrase, just sound familiar, it should be, because they are lyrics to a song, "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother," which is performed and written by the Hollies. And I only know that because my father got me to listening to them as I grew up. But it's a great song. Now, if you haven't heard of the Hollies, I'm sure you've heard of the Beatles, who also do a similar song called "Long and Winding Road." And lyrically, the line refers to the life we live. It has turns, it has ups and downs, and it can sometimes appear long. And this is that very road we're going to be traveling on. We also encounter hazardous conditions along the way, like bumps, for example. Was that number four? Yes. We need to be cautious at all times. We need to pay attention by not letting distractions get in the way. Watch what we are doing. Watch out for what lies ahead so we are prepared. Now, there may be times that we may come across a road block. Number five. Or wait. Six. I should have numbered these. Number six. Yes, that happens quite often where we face a condition in our path and we get stuck. But it may only be a delay. So we need to find an alternate route, such as a detour, which will still ultimately lead us into the right direction. But we have to be careful that we do not drift off course. What does that mean? Well, that means that we follow the signs. Don't try to put matters into our own hands, like finding a shortcut that could probably lead us right into a lake if we are not careful. But no, we should realize our mistakes, as we are still human, and get back on track. Find the, number seven, connector that leads us right back onto the main road that we are traveling on. How's that for an analogy? Now, what is difficult to avoid is the road of the world. That road on the left side, as it will from time to time travel, number eight, parallel with our road. And we have to make sure that it does not intersect, giving us an easy pathway to enter, number nine, the wrong way. There will be many opportunities and temptations along the way, signs that we must ignore if we want to reach our final destination. Be aware of the U-turns. We are traveling on a one-way street. We need to avoid going back into the world as we have come out of it. Now, chapter 35, verse 8, talks about this road that we are traveling on in the future. This road that we are presently on, which will become a highway of holiness. It is a road to Jerusalem, a road to Jesus Christ. And that time will come when everyone will have that chance to travel that road. Let's look at that. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 8. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 8. A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. Now, I also want to read this in the New American Standard Bible, as it translated as saying, a highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it. Now, John Gill's commentary of the Bible explains the verse in this way. Christ is a highway, cast up by sovereign grace, which is raised above the mire and the dirt of sin, the road conditions, and carries over it, and from it a way visible and manifest, clearly pointed to and described the everlasting gospel. It is the King's highway. It is the highway of the King of Kings, which he has ordered and appointed, and is common to all his subjects, high and low, rich and poor, strong or weaker believers. All may walk in this way. Everybody is going to have that chance. It is an old beaten path, which saints in all ages from the beginning of the world have walked in. It is the good old way, the more excellent, the most excellent one. All obstructions and impediments are removed, cast in by sin, Satan, the law, and the world. Nor is anyone to be stopped and lested in this way, and all that shall come safe to their journey's end, it shall be called the way of holiness. So Christ leads his people in paths of righteousness, in the paths of truth, of ordinances, and of worship. So the unclean shall not pass over it, referring to those who choose not to be clean, who do not want to go the way of Christ. But it shall be for others, those who want to live righteously, those who were blind and now can see, those who were deaf and now can hear, and so on. Continuing on with Gill's explanation, though fools shall not err therein, or travelers, such as saints are, they are strangers, pilgrims, and sojourners here. They have no continuance here. They are like wayfaring men that abide but for a night. They are bound for another country, a better, even a heavenly one, and at last shall arrive thither. Now these, though they have been fools in their unregenerate state, with respect to spiritual things, Or though they may not have that sharpness of wits and quickness of natural parts, as some men have. And though they may not have that clear and distinct knowledge of gospel truths as others, at least some of them, yet shall not err as to the way of salvation. And though they may err or mistake in some things, yet in the main, not fundamentally, nor finally, the way of salvation by Christ is so plain a way that he that has any spiritual understanding of it shall not err in it. This is why we chose this road that we are traveling on now, this road that is going to lead us to the future road. We are still traveling on this road today, and we are going to eventually reach our final destination if we remain focused and faithful. So I want to read again Matthew chapter 7, 13, verse 14. With everything that I have said today, chapter 7, verse 13, either or enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it.